Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Please pray for us. As I stand before you, it's so important that the children of God that sit under the sound of the gospel pray for those who stand before them to preach the gospel, whoever it might be, that the Lord would bless any time that we are gathered in a church setting or in a church capacity, or any time the gospel is being shared, that the Lord would just bless the effort of the minister to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God, and that the gospel would fall on good ground, that the Lord would prepare that ground, prepare our hearts to receive the message of the Word of God that He's given to us as His little children here in this world, that we would rightly divide the Word of truth and be faithful to the Lord. Follow the leadership of the Spirit. Follow the direction that comes from God. And the experience of hearing the gospel and preaching the gospel is not one that you can be taught how to do by the ideas and the thoughts of this world. We're dependent upon the Lord's presence and the Lord's Spirit and the work of God. It's a miracle. As much as the eyes of the blind being opened, the ears of the deaf being unstopped, it's having the poor have the gospel preached to them was one of the miracles that were pointed to when John the Baptist wondered if Jesus was the Christ or should we look to another. He said, go show John again. When they came to the disciples of John came, or the disciples came and asked John, Jesus about, you know, art thou the Christ? John sent his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? When John was in prison, he sent his disciples to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, great miracles. He said, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And that's right in line with what the miracles of those things we would clearly see as miracles. It's a miracle whenever we can sit together under the sound of the gospel. And I just pray the Lord would bless us today with that. And He would supply just what we need. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Timothy. Begin reading here in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, right at verse 1. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, as yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, thou. The word thou is a singular pronoun that points to an individual, a singular person. And here he's speaking specifically to Timothy. But I believe by inspiration of God, it's also to each of us, and especially to those who've been called by the Lord to preach the gospel. But all of God's children have a calling, and they have that which the Lord has given them to do, and a labor that they are to labor in. It's not just the minister's responsibility to share the gospel. He shares the gospel from the pulpit, and it's his responsibility to be faithful in doing that. But part of what he shares is to tell God's little children their responsibility of what they ought to be doing as God's children to also share that gospel as you live here in this world. He didn't just say to the ministers that ye are the light of the world. He said that to each and every one of God's little children. You have been brought out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light, that you might let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is not just to the ministry. It's to each and every one of God's little children. And the way that we're to live our lives, the way that we're to walk in this world, we don't produce our own light. We don't change our own mind and get on the right course. We were in far too bad a situation to be able to do that. A man that is born of woman, left in his natural state, is just born in sin, he's shaping in iniquity, he even comes forth from the womb speaking lies. I heard a man talking about how deeply depraved man is in his own strength and his own ability this week. And he said, he made the statement that made me laugh. He said the very fact that anyone who's really had children knows a little bit about the depravity of man. And everybody kind of laughed. I understood a little bit about that. He went on to say that if they weren't little when they were born, they'd kill you. In other words, that when they get angry with you, if they had the ability, oh, they'd be a dangerous thing. He called them a viper and a diaper. I thought, my goodness. You know, we think of those little ones as being a little innocent and sweet. And I'll tell you, in the middle of the night, when you want to get a little sleep, or when they get a little hungry, or when their diaper gets a little wet, or when anything happens, we see the nature of man come out even in those little bitty ones real, real early. And the reason sin comes out in them is because sin, they were by nature sinful, and the reason they had that is because their mother and their father were sinful, and the reason they had that is because their grandparents were sinful, and the reason that happened is goes all the way back to the first man, Adam, and in Adam, we were in trouble. We were in a state that there was no way for us to fix ourselves and bring ourselves out of that state. We were dead. We weren't just a little sick. We weren't just in a little bit of trouble. We didn't just need someone, a Sunday school teacher or some evangelist to come and tell us to take a change of mind and a change of heart and stop doing what you're doing and start doing this. Stop believing what you used to believe and start believing that. We weren't in a state where we could be reasoned with. That viper in a diaper grows up and becomes a vile human being. And that is from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Ear in his own self, just completely unable to fix his condition. And we still have that old nature. Even a born again little child of God still has that old man, that old nature that's bothering you right now as you sit in a worship service to worship God. It's still there bothering you. It's going to come a day when you don't have that anymore. The good news is, even in the victory, in the sense that Jesus died, what he conquered in his death was the dominion of sin was broken that was in us, that we had no capability of doing the things of God. We no longer are in that bondage. We've been set free. The old devil would say, no, you're not set free. You're that same old character that you used to be. No, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That doesn't mean you don't have that old sinful nature to contend with. It just means you have abilities in the Lord to keep your old man, your old woman, your old self under control. That old unruly member. I was reading last night. You know, that's one thing about it. When you're looking for a text, or you're longing to have something laid on your heart, you're all over the Bible. You're looking at this and that. I read over in James 3 about the unruly member, you know, that your tongue is, and how much trouble that little member, like the little part of the ship that moves and guides the ship along the way, and a bridle that's on a beast, how that can just guide the beast, and how that helm of that ship, or the whatever you call it, the rudder or whatever, it'll lead that ship in the way that it's supposed to go. And that tongue, how it can lead you right down the path of destruction, and how unruly it is, and how no man can bridle his tongue. You know, that's man by nature. That's the viper in the diaper that grows up. That's the man by nature who is a child of wrath, even as others, who loved the things of this world, who was under the bondage of the world, who was under the dominion of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, who were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, who lived in the lust of the flesh and of the desires of the mind, and were by nature, we were dead in trespasses and in sins, until the grace of God made a difference. That's why we're to be strong in the grace of God. Some folks get the idea old Baptists preach way too much grace. I think that's an impossibility. You can't preach too much grace. Listen, grace isn't just talking about how you get to heaven, but it is talking about how you get to heaven. Grace isn't talking about how you just change your life, but it is how you change your life. Grace is in the beginning. Grace is in the middle, and grace is in the end. Grace is what we need if we're going to be something different than what we were by nature. If we're anything other than dead in sin, it's by grace that we've been made alive in Christ. And those of His children, if He's loved you, He's always loved you. He chose you in Christ. And the reason He chose you is not because you were something special, but it was His grace that allowed. Have you ever thought, why did He choose me? Why did He do anything for me? Why didn't He just leave me where I was? And yet God saw fit, as He looked upon all the family of man, He chose many out of that family, out of every nation, and out of every kindred, and out of every tongue. He chose them, but He saw them and He loved them in the condition they were in, and it was grace that reached where we were, in the depths of our depravity. And if it was left up to us to make a decision to change course, that would be works. It wouldn't be grace. Even if the Lord offers us grace to get into, but we got to work a little bit to get into it, the trouble is that man who is dead in sin, dead men can't work. In order to believe, we have to be given grace. In order to love, we have to be given grace. In order to be alive, we have to have grace. Grace, why should we be strong in the grace? As He says, thou therefore, my son. And I'm talking, and how was he his son? He was his son in the faith. Listen, Timothy wasn't his son, biologically speaking, but he was a little child of God who had come under the sound of this preacher. And this preacher was a preacher because God had called him out to be a preacher. Paul didn't say one day, I think I'll be a preacher. He was on the way to destroy the church when the Lord knocked him down and gave him the burden and the calling to go preach and to teach the Lord's people. And as he went and did that, there were some who heard his preaching and heard what he taught, and they believed those things. He didn't give them life, but he sure was a blessing to them when they heard the truth of God's word. And then they walked in obedience to that and walked in the waters of baptism and followed their Lord and were living their lives in the Lord's church and in the fellowship of the church to the glory and the praise and the honor of the Lord. And Timothy, the prophecy had gone before about Timothy that he was going to be a preacher, and this prophecy had come to pass. And the Apostle Paul said he saw this faith that was in his mother and in his grandmother. He saw it in Timothy also. And now he's talked to Timothy, and Timothy has believed these things that the Apostle Paul so fervently taught and suffered for. Sometimes I get to having little pity parties, thinking about what I've had to go through with in preaching the gospel. I'm telling you, my journey in this world in preaching the gospel has been a delight. I'll tell you, the best times of my life have been in meetings just like this one this morning, where I've met with God's children over the years and enjoyed the sweet fellowship of hearing this same message preached over and over again about God coming to those who were dead and making them alive, about Him knowing who they were and that He chose them in covenant before the foundation of the world. And He had love for them enough to reach them in their depraved state. He loved that. He loved those. He loved every one of them. You know who the Lord loved? He loved His people. And those whom He loved, He had the ability to reach them in their state, and His love changed their lives, and He's made them walk different and talk different. And I've had sweet fellowship with many of God's little children, and they've been different colors, they've been different nationalities, but they've been, and they're different ages. I remember when I first came into the church, folks would tell me, all those old Baptists are just a bunch of old folks. Well, I'm looking around, they're still just mostly a bunch of old folks. But I was a young man then, you know. What are you doing over there with this bunch of old folks? You know what I saw? I didn't see anybody old. I saw my brothers. I saw my sisters. I saw some fathers that were fathers to me in the faith, that helped me, and they didn't give me life, but I'm telling you, they helped me. I can still hear the voice of elder men say, just brag on Jesus. I can still hear my dad's voice talking about, you don't need preaching grace until it's time to preach, and then the Lord will provide it. So trust in the Lord. I'd say, Daddy, I don't have anything on my mind. He said, it's not time to preach yet. Just wait till it's time to preach. The Lord will provide. And I found out the other day, again, in a nursing home room with two little sisters, you can have a meeting just as sweet there as you can in a coliseum filled with people. I haven't experienced the coliseum. I don't know what that's like. But I know what a nursing home room is like. I know what a funeral parlor can be like. I've seen the Lord light up a gravesite. I've seen the Lord be with us in the midst of the storms and the problems. I've seen it. I've seen a van light up going down the highway. When you're talking about the things of God and you're talking about the grace of God, I want to be strong in the grace of God. I don't want to talk about anything else but Jesus and what He did and how He accomplished that work and that He did it for me. And I want you to believe that He did it for you. And I want to believe it better. I want to believe He could reach me in my condition and touch me when no one else could. And He did it because He loved me and He loved you and He loved every one of His children. And I believe without any doubt every one of them are going to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. And there's not any way they could mess it up. Listen, if you and I could mess it up, we'd mess it up. We got proof of that. It's all over our life. You know, sometimes we just said, just leave it to me. We don't want to say, leave it to me. Leave it to Him. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Have faith in God. Trust in Him. Lean on Him for heaven. When it comes time, you thinking about, when I die, will I be with Him? Will I be on His right hand? Will He call my name? when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm about to leave this world, will I feel His presence? Listen, He loved you enough that He quickened you and made you alive, and then just think about what He's done for your life. He didn't leave you in the pollution and in where you were in this world. And listen, it wasn't just the world that made me dirty. It was me and the world. I was already dirty, and I was in a dirty world that would have never cleaned me up. I've never gotten fixed. And I was under the bondage of the devil, who would have never let loose of you. Listen, if he could have held on to you, he would have. But I'm telling you, there was one greater than he. Isn't it good to know there's one bigger than the devil? So when he comes knocking, you could just say, resist him in the Lord. And he's got to go. He's got to go. He'll flee from you. Amen. Bless her heart. What a great Lord. We see the evidence of His grace all around us. Be still. I know that I am God. Be strong, dear ones, in the grace of God. Don't go anywhere else. Don't let anybody take that from you. Don't listen to slick-tongued false prophets standing up and saying, do this, do that, and you'll be all right with the Lord. I'm telling you, that message will not make you better. It'll make you sick. It won't help you. It'll hinder you. It'll hurt you. And it doesn't take but a little bit of works into grace to make it no longer grace. We don't want to leave grace. Grace is God's riches that came at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is what He bought for you. Grace is what He did for you. Grace is what He gives you the strength to believe and the strength to love and the strength to live and to talk and behave in a way that's godly and right. And this book tells us how to do that. And preachers ought to faithfully preach that. Not something different, but the same thing that the Apostle Paul was given. The same thing that he gave to Timothy. The same thing Timothy taught others and has come down through the ages to us, I believe, even to this day. And that message is just as good as it's ever been. And if this world stands another 1,000 years, which I don't believe it will, but if it does, this book will be just as good then as it is today. You believe that? I hope you do. It's the truth. You're not believing it won't change it. It won't change God's faithfulness. It won't change who you are. It won't change what He's done for you. That's how good grace is, in spite of us. The Lord will have everyone that He died for with Him in heaven in immortal glory without the loss of one. And any doctrine that says otherwise is false. And it weakens and belittles God. It doesn't really weaken Him. It just speaks of Him as if He's weak. He is not weak. He's not weak. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, all grace is in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed this morning, because there's no other name in which we can pray. There's no other way to have access to heaven. There's no way for we'll ever enter into heaven. There's no way we would have a desire for heaven. Jesus had to come to us. We didn't go find Jesus. Jesus wasn't lost. We were lost. He came where we were and did for us what we could not do. And it's in Jesus that this grace is. And he says, and the things, what things? The things of his grace. What God has done for his people. Some people say, all you old Baptists do is talk about election. Election is important. Election is vital. And furthermore, nobody else, so many others aren't even mentioning it. You wouldn't even know it was there. That God would have foreknown his people and elected them. Listen, he said, I'm enduring all these things for the elect's sake. There's an elect in this world. There's a people that God has chosen. And to deny that is to deny the work of what the Lord did in saving his people. He made sovereign choice of his people. The mystery of God is that he chose any of us, but God saw fit to choose his people out of all of the family of this world. He chose his own family. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And he did all that you would show forth praises unto him. And we do that by talking about his grace. Now, how are you strong in the grace? You're strong in his grace when you remember his grace. When you're strong in his grace when you talk about his grace. You're strong in his grace when you recognize my daily walk is by his grace. So that when you go out in the world, you realize, I can't make it today, Lord, without thee. I can't preach without thee. I can't do the job that you've given me to do, Lord, without thee. It isn't just good for church. Grace isn't just about church. Oh, grace allows you to see the church. But oh, grace is what carries us through the day-to-day troubles and trials of life, doesn't it? Where would you be today if it were not for the grace of God? The hymn writer said, it's grace that's brought me safe thus far. Can you see your life? How good has his grace been to you? In the home that you were born in the family that you had, in the fellowship of the brethren down through the years, in the fact that the Lord awakened you and allowed you to see it and know it, and then you have a little light. I know you may get frustrated, and we get frustrated when we go to the Word of God and it seems at times like a closed book. You know what the Lord teaches us about that? That you can't get anything out of my Word without me. So what do? We got a place to go. Lord, help me. Lord, give me understanding. He says, in the things that thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We don't make faithful men. God makes faithful men. God is the one who puts faith in men and women. God is the one who gives men and women the ability. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you find faithful men, you find those that God has operated on and made new creatures. The Bible and the teaching of God's Word doesn't bring faith to the dead. It's the Lord who gives us faith, and then the preaching and the teaching brings faith in a sense to life, in the sense that you have something for it to embrace. In other words, we have faith in our hearts, but then we hear the Word, we have something to believe. And when you hear it and you know it's the truth, it brings peace in your heart. He says, who shall be able to teach others also? You read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, you'll see that the reason we have an ability to be able to preach and to teach is because the Lord has made us able ministers of the gospel. That's how you have preachers. If you've ever had a preacher that benefited you, don't give that preacher the praise. It all belongs to the Lord, because it's the Lord who makes them unable to minister. It's the Lord who gives them the understanding. It's the Lord who gives them the ability not only to know the Word, but then to share the Word and to be able to preach the Word and to tell you about the wonderful story and the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What does he mean by enduring hardness? It means you'll have some afflictions. You'll have things that get in your way. You'll have troubles. You'll have problems. I think sometimes about the little problems that I've had in my life compared to what the Apostle Paul had, and I get ashamed. I read another place last night over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said this about his own efforts as preaching the gospel. How important was preaching the gospel to the Apostle Paul? Listen to what he said. Verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. This is the Apostle Paul in his labors. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. That doesn't sound like a fun time, does it? He reads on in verse 24. He tells us, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Wow. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Why did he go through all this, Apostle Paul? Why did you go through all this? Because he was strong in the grace of God. And God's little children, the elect, needed to hear about this truth. Not in order that they might be delivered in heaven in immortal glory, but that they might understand that salvation is by God's grace, and they would have peace and rest in that. in their day-to-day walk. How important is that today? Is that important to you? I hope it's a priority in your life. That I might be in some way able to help a little child of grace along the way see and understand that wonderful truth that has meant so much to me. What is it the little hymn writer wrote? I love to tell the story to those who know it best. I love to tell the story, for some had never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. The Apostle Paul loved it so much that he didn't allow just a little bit of this to stop him or a little bit of that. Sometimes I just let little things stop me. Sometimes just a little thing gets in the way. And I say, well, is it really worth the cost? Is it really worth the effort? Does it matter? Is it worth going from here to there just to have so few gather? Is it worth? Is any of this worthwhile? Listen, the Apostle Paul thought it was worthwhile enough that he was beaten. He said 3 times was he beaten with rods. Once was he stoned. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Well, listen to the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he counted it all joy. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of water. Just read it. In perils of robbers. In perils of, by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. You think he's making a point? In perils among false brethren. In other words, I've got false teachers out there too. All of these things would be a hindrance and would be there to tell him to quit. He said, you endure hardness. What he's saying to us as ministers is whatever God has put on your heart, you do it as the Lord leads you and guides you, and don't allow the afflictions that are sure to come in your life to hinder you from sharing the Word of God. It's that important. That God's little children might hear and might have peace and might have rest. It's not about how people get home to glory. It's about those who are going to be in glory enjoying their peace and their rest here in this world and living their lives in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He goes into verse 27. He says, in weariness and painfulness. You want to be a preacher? Here you go. The Apostle Paul says, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. How I ought to be ashamed of thinking about anything but joy when it comes time for me to be able to sit among God's people and to be able to declare the Word of God. He says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And of all the things that he's written here, many of them I can't relate to. But I can relate to that. I beg the Lord that he would bless our little churches to prosper. I beg that he would add to our borders. That he would send forth laborers into the harvest. He would cause others of God's little children. Are you praying for this? That he'd cause others of God's little children to see what we have been blessed to see. What does it mean to you that you know that salvation is by the grace of God and you're not trusting any longer? I pray that's where you are. That you're not trusting any longer in what the Lord, in what you did for the Lord. But you're trusting completely in what the Lord did for you. Because in what you do for the Lord, there'll never be peace. But in what the Lord has done for you, there is peace. And then because of what he's done for us, we ought, listen, this isn't about just do anything you want, live any old way. Y'all not getting that, I hope, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying to you that our very best efforts are going to fall short. His efforts did not fall short, and he's done and finished the work that only he could do. And now it is our responsibility as much as we can to share that message in our lives. My calling is to share it from the pulpit. If that's your calling, you ought to be about your Father's business in pursuing that. Not half-heartedly, with all your heart. You look to the Lord, you pray to him, you ask him for guidance, you ask him to direct you, you ask him to lead you, and your inabilities, he will take care of those. As a matter of fact, if you're an able minister, He says He's made us able ministers. Let me turn to that verse real quick and then I'm going to close. Verse chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 5. If a minister ever gets to feeling like I got all I need now, I got it handled, he needs to come back and read this verse. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. And you know that's not just true for the ministry. That's for every one of us, isn't it? To think anything of ourselves. In other words, we start, when you start thinking something of yourself, that's when you, doesn't trouble come with that? When we start thinking of ourselves, anything of ourselves, that is that I got this. He says, but our sufficiency, get this, is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. How did they become able ministers of the New Testament? He made us. Does that sound like works or does that sound like grace to you? Grace, sister. That's right. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. We're not up here to make speeches and to present language. We're not up here to do that. We're praying that the Spirit of Almighty God will be among us so that we can truly teach the Lord's people with the Word of God. I'm going to read the whole passage here again. He says, no man that warreth, there therefore, I'm back over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. We have been called. We didn't volunteer in this army. You were called. You were chosen. And He's the captain of our salvation. He says, no man that warreth, we are in a battle, we are in a war, we are to fight the good fight of faith, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. What that means is we're not to love the world. There's a certain amount of the world you got to deal with. There's daily bread that has to be provided. We're to make us our living by the sweat of our face. We're to provide for the natural things of life. But Matthew 6 tells us that even that, our food and our raiment, we're not to be full of care about that because the Lord is the one who ultimately provides all of that. Without Him, all of our efforts would be in vain. So we look to the Lord and we put first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these natural things will be provided for you. He says, if a man also strive for mastery, as yet is he not crowned, except that he strive lawfully. That means we've got to follow God's rules. What He's laid down in His Word, there are no shortcuts. There's no way to say, well, I think I can do it this way. I think I can go that way. No, we have to follow in the way that He leads us in His Word. He says, the husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. That means before a man can preach, he has to have an understanding of the Word and be a partaker of it and enjoy it and have fellowship in it. But then he also looks to the Lord that he might share that with others. Because if the Lord doesn't provide that, it'll be good for him, but it won't be of any benefit to the flock. And then he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. In other words, when we've heard these things, let's not just hear them and say, oh, you know, let's consider what he says. And then when we don't understand, pray, God, give us the understanding. And if you do understand, notice where that comes from. It comes from the Lord. And it's to the Lord that all the praise and all the honor and all the glory belongs. I appreciate your attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless each and every one of you. 370?